the last time we began to look at the Heter Pesach Pesuach. That's the Gemara of Yosef, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Pesach Pesuach, he tells us, Pesach Pesuach is Rabin, Ein Chosham Shem Yichon. Kodesh Shulchan Aruch, straightforward, it's a test. And we began to realize last time, so there are multiple parts of that terminology need explanation. One is Pesach Pesuach, one is Rishus HaRabim, and also Ein Chosham Shem Yichud. How mutter is it? We'll get back to that as well. And we, in terms of the how mutter is it, we saw already, we'll have to return to the Nosei Kelim, begin to discuss, you know, the same way Rabba's din of Baila Be'ir doesn't work when it's counterbalanced by Libo Gaspa, how about Pesach Pesuach? Does that break down? We'll come back to that point. We began to look at Rishus HaRabim, and then we left off up to Pesach Pesuach. We saw that Bar Hetev, right below the Shulchan Aruch, quote from the Knesset HaGedola, one of the very early Sfardi Acharonim, the Knesset HaGedola says, Rishus HaRabim is only by Yom, not by Laila, and this has nothing to do with Halachic Yom and Laila, has to do with Kol HaRegel Menashuk. Is there traffic? Is there not traffic? It doesn't have to do... Rishus HaRabim doesn't mean, you know, that... obviously doesn't mean it from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective, but it doesn't even mean that in theory it's a public space. It has to be, practically speaking, actually it is a little bit like Hilchos Shabbos. It's not enough that in theory there's public access to this place. It has to be, practically speaking, at this time of the day or night, there actually is, you know, some degree of substantive traffic. As you mentioned, the Devar HaLacha, one of the modern classics in Hilchos Yichud, he quotes to Rosh Hashanah Zalman and others, so someone who's the Bar Hetev, where he quotes over Rishav, or people walking by, Rosh Hashanah Zalman, they thought people walking by around every 5 minutes or so, so that's randomly, people walking by every 5 minutes, but on the average, around every 5 minutes, so then that's going to be considered just a Rabim. Once it gets quieter than that, as you're out on a date and you found a nice bench that's secluded enough that you have privacy to talk, but within eyesight of where people are passing by, as long as people are still passing by, you know, every 5 minutes or so you're good. Once you notice it's starting to get later and the foot traffic is drying out, then you gotta move to a more public spot. But then the question is, so that's Rosh Hashanah, but what's Pesach Pesuach? What do we mean Pesach Pesuach? Well, this is what we left off with last time. The Pesach Tshuva points out this is the big guns argue about this. Big guns. Take a look. Sif Katan Ches and Pesach Tshuva. Right below the Bar Hetev is Pesach Tshuva. Ayin B'Tshuva Shur B'Kiv Eger. Something in our minds we associate with B'Kiv Eger only with the world of Nashim Zikin. This is Nashim. B'Kiv Eger worked both on Lundus and on Halach HaLamaisa. He says... Tshuvas Rebbe Kiva, the Jewish Mechidish on the Masechtos, and the Jews. I'm the Tshuvas Rebbe Kiva Eger. Rebbe Eger was a Rav of a big city, and he passed in Shas Halach HaMaisa. It's all one Torah. Alamdus Halach HaMaisa, it's a coherent, integrated, holistic system. I am, say again, Pesach Tshuvas Siv Kavan Ches. I am the Tshuvas Rebbe Kiva Eger. Simen Kuf. The Tshuva, who quotes in turn, the Tshuva of Hagon Beis Meir. Gedolei Acharon. So where was the Kiva Eger quote from the base? Meir, the Ikka Lameidak Mizeh of Pesach Sosum, I feel Eino No'u, who Polim Shos Rabim, or Pesuch L'chatzer, who Ima Yichu Ba'abayis, Havi Yichu. Again, what did they just say? What was that mouthful? That it's only this Pesach Pesuach who Shos Rabim is Mutter, as opposed to Pesach Sosum Ve'Eino No'u. The door is closed, although not locked, that's Aser. That's awesome. And if he said, whether it's Lushus HaRabim or Pasuach LeChatzer, even B'Yichud Ba'Bayis, or if the door is open to the Chatzer, let's say Chatzer again is not the street, but it's an area that's shared by several households. In B'Tkufas HaTalmud, that would often be an outdoor courtyard, the equivalent for us would typically be apartment buildings, a multi-family unit. And each family has its own apartment, and it opens, each apartment opens into a shared space, into the lobby, into the hallway. So that's the equivalent, functionally speaking, of a chatzer. may not have all the dinim of chatzer in other areas of halacha because people don't do much in a lobby, but for our purposes, and in terms of it's essentially the same thing. So he's saying, I live in a private house, and the door is unlocked but closed, the front door to the street, or I live in an apartment, and the front door of my apartment is unlocked but closing, and even leaving aside the fact that the hallway of an apartment building may or may not be Rishus HaRabim, in the sense of Rosh Hashav. So Rabbi Kivanger and the Beis Meir say, if the door is unlocked, that's not sufficient. Pasuach means, as opposed to Sasam Afilu Eino No. Bechei Masha B'Kiddush M'Payal. That's the implication you get here. That's the language. Language Shulchan Aruch is the language of the Gemara. Okay. So that's these Acharonim, these Gedolei Acharonim, Rabbi Kivanger and Beis Meir, they are Machmir. It needs to be open, ajar, or open, not just unlocked. Of course, there's another way to the slippery thing is the diet they're making, it's pasuach as opposed to sasum. Well, what does pasuach mean? It's a little bit circular. And obviously, there's more to the tshuva than the one or two lines that this tshuva is excerpting here. But you could read it either way. I mean, what do you mean by open? Open mean like wide open or open as in unlocked? So they're assuming it means wide open as opposed to shut, even if it's unlocked. And say, then Kivei goes on to say, well, my de'isa b'tshuvas ha-rajba, simen elef reishon and aleph, and the rajba tshuvas. You got that simen elef reishon and aleph. The tshuva number 1251. The Rajba wrote many tshuvas. That's just chelak aleph. You look at a set of tshuvas harajba, just as an aside, it's typically seven or eight halakim. The first chalak happens to be the largest, the first chalak sometimes makes into two volumes, well over 1,000 tshuvas in the first chalak alone. The Rajba B'Sacha Kol wrote well over 2,000 tshuvas, maybe 3,000 tshuvas. And he's not even the most prolific. I think the most prolific of the Rishonim in terms of tshuvas is the Radval, so I think it's thousands and thousands. It's really remarkable. And everything was done by hand. This was snail mail. And it is done by hand, and every tshuva that we have, when you send an email, you automatically have a copy saved in the sent folder of your inbox. The fact that we have printed tshuvas of Rishonim, or for that matter, Acharonim before, not so long ago, is because someone sat there copying it over. Either after the Talmud Chacham passed away, they went around to towns collecting who has letters that they received from the Rajba, from the Radvad, or you see, I think the tshuvas harash. It talks about hilchas chol hamoed. Are you or not allowed to have the Talmud who copies over the tshuva before the original gets sent out? So you see, that was the technology, the human copy machine. Someone would say, "Yeah, you had a gabbai, a Talmud, but the job was to copy the rav would write the tshuva. Someone makes a copy for the duckers, and then you send the letter out. Thousands. So this is tshuva 1251 of the Rashba. The same Rashba wrote the Chedusha Rashba and Shas. He was probably the preeminent posek for all of Sfarad at the time. He inherited the rabbinic position that had been inhabited by his Rebbe, the Ramban. Ramban had been the Rebbe of Barcelona, which was the largest community in that part of Spain. It was Aragon or Castile. And then when the Ramban passed away, his Talmud, the Rashba, took over. So it says, the Rekid Vega says, there is a line in the Rashba. In Shuvas HaRajba, the Ein Yichud Ad Shehei Abayis Dor B'Mamol, there's no Yichud unless the door is locked. To'u Sofer Hu. Ayin Sham. That's a mistake. Ayin Sham means take a look at Rabbi Kiveger, the Pesachei Tshuva just gave us 2-3 lines. Obviously, Rabbi Kiveger has a lot more to say. The godless of the Rav Eisenstadt, the compiler of the Pesachei Tshuva, is his capacity to take a 2-3-4 page tshuva and whittle it down into get the guts of it in a couple of lines. That's all this entire sefer Pesachei Tshuva. That's what it is. He'll go through tshuvas. He'll give you the abstract, give you a digest in 2-3 lines of key points of a much lengthier tshuva. Since he's looking at Kivega, there's a lot more back and forth. But that's the basic nekuda. Kivega quotes the Beis Meir and agrees with the Beis Meir. The Pesach Pasuach means has to be actually wide open. And disagree. There is a line in the Rajba that sounds like as long as it's unlocked, but he thinks of that technically wants to see why he writes that, if look in the tshuva, but he argues that tshuva sarajba is a mistake. Achein, so that's the end of Rabbi Kivanger. However, writes the Pesach Tshuva, that's what Bikiva Eger says, very easy, but Tshuva's HaRadvaz, who we just mentioned, the Radvaz, what lived around the same time as the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, I think he lived in the 1500s in Egypt. Man of David ben Zimra. Chelak Alf Simin Kuf Chaf Al, the 121st Tshuva in the first volume of his Tshuvas, Hetzik Lashon Rashba Hanal, he also quotes that Rashba, Velo Kastash Shotel Sofer, he does not think it's a mistake, he thinks that it absolutely is correct. He thinks that that absolutely is correct. But that's a big machlokas. You have a machlokas, Riki Vager and the Beis Meir versus Radvaz and perhaps Rashba. Does Pesach Pasuach mean wide open or Pesach Pasuach just mean unlocked? Now you might stop and ask yourself, okay, but there are nafkaminas, if the door is closed and not locked, what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? So the heart, what they're really arguing about is the following. It's really arguing over the question that Hassan al-Aviz had asked last time when we were working on the file of the year. When you learn Pesach Pasuach, so the logical question, the conceptual question that you ask is, why is it mutter? What's driving this heter? Right? We had seen with Bible of the Year, that was Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. Right? It was driving the heter, the actual possibility the husband's going to walk in, or just the psychological impact of his presence. So there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Kivag and the Beis Meir are disagreeing about Daz, what's driving Yesh Lacher, what's driving Pesach Pasuach? Why is it mutter? Is it mutter because of, is it enough that there's uninhibited access by other people, or do you need visibility? That's the difference between a door which is unlocked versus a door which is wide open. To say that you need a door which is wide open, what Riki Vager and the Beis Meir are arguing, what they're saying is that the heter b'ayla b'in Pesach Pasuach, I'm sorry, is that people can actually see you. Someone can be walking by, again, Rishus Rav means people are randomly popping by, and you're in eyesight with anyone who's walking by. So at any time, you could actually be seen. So the door is wide open, people can see you. The door is closed, it's very nice that the door is not locked. What does it matter? No one on the street can see you. What's driving the Radvaz Shemekel is he understands, of course, visibility is certainly matir, but that's not necessary. Of course, visibility is sufficient, but you don't actually need visibility. It's maspik, it's enough, just that people could pop in. It's a situation, a situation of uninhibited access. Situation where other people can, without any inhibition, without any barriers, and other people can be randomly popping in. That's why, by the way, this is very, very, very important. Even the Radvaz, who says that if the door is closed but not locked, it's mutter, that's a hachamayan skin that people are actually likely to be walking through that door. If you live in a place where no one, people don't just randomly pop into other people's houses, the fact that the door is unlocked, I left the door unlocked, but it's not just an incantation. It's not just hocus pocus, so the door happens to be unlocked. Door unlocked means that people might actually be popping in, which is why the Tribina Rav, the Dov Meisharim, is quoted by the Dvar Halacha, as pointing out, even if the door is locked, if you know there are people who have the key who are actually likely to be popping in at any time, or there's a real chance that people are popping in, he thinks, strictly speaking, that is mutter. To have the door actually locked, even if it's not technically us, it will often be mechur or whatever. Going back to earlier, so yeah, it's a little odd. Why are you locking the door? The two of you are alone together, you're locking it. Well, my brother might be coming home, but still, if you're in an area where it's not safe, to have the door unlocked is one thing. I mean, normally it would be a mechur or whatever to have the door locked. But that's the argument. The argument fundamentally, going on this Pesach Tshuva, is it only mutter when you're actually visible to anyone who's walking by? Or is it enough that there's a real chance of people popping in? If you live on a block where kids are randomly popping into the neighbor's houses all the time, if the door is unlocked, that's a real invitation for people who will be coming in. Right? 30% chance that someone's walking the door at any moment. Then that's something which the Ravaz would hold as mutter, and the simple reading the Rashba is that mutter. And Riki Vager Beis Meir say, no, that's not enough. You actually have to be in sight. And let's expand on, so first let's talk about, now that we explained the case that's in contention, Again, not just that technically the door is unlocked, but there's actually a real chance of people walking in. Let's talk a little bit about the case that everyone agrees to. If you are visible, Pesach Pasuach Mamish, the door is wide open, that everyone agrees is mutter. So the post can point that it doesn't have to be a Pesach, it could also be a Chalom. It could be a window. There's a very, very, very beautiful story they tell with Chaim Zagrajensky. It was one of the leading poskim and leaders of the Jewish community in Eastern Europe in between the two world wars. And you appreciate this story that much more when you understand what else was on his plate. He was a man, I was at a presentation, a very, very impressive presentation earlier this week. Some of you may be aware of screening years. The presentation was put together by all the six elementary schools in Bergen County about to be thoughtful about the way adults and kids use phones or don't use phones. So they presented, there was a documentary that was put out by a pediatrician who struggled with her own kids not having a phone and when to give and how to give. And she started researching the topic very extensively. A very, very thought-provoking film. And one of the topics that they raised, many, many topics, many, many potential concerns and hesitations. One of them is they interview psychologists who point out that people don't actually multitask. You sometimes have the illusion of multitasking. Your brain develops the capacity to quickly oscillate back and forth between different tasks. You can be in multiple parshiyos at the same time because your brain keeps switching back and forth. But you're not thinking about both things simultaneously. And as a result, the psychologist, Dr. Sherry Tuttle, said you almost invariably, when it's actually measured, your cognitive performance on any one task that you're doing when you're multitasking is going to be impaired. It will be less. Your brain is not fully in it because half the time it's out. Half the time you're thinking about the other thing. You have an illusion. It's like an optical illusion. You have the sense as though you're thinking of both things simultaneously, really not. She actually said the research, extensive research shows that among adolescents in particular, you often feel like you're doing more when you're multitasking. Like you feel like you're accomplishing so much on all fronts. When they actually measure it objectively in the lab, people who are multitasking, you're invariably doing less. Right? And in replicable, measurable ways. That's something to think about. With perhaps rare exceptions. Rav Chaim Leizer, if the stories, even some of the stories that tell about him are true, he really did. A rare genius who really did multitasking. He was the one who they described as, he would walk into his office, and he's on one or two phones, and there's two butchers that are having some machalikas, and a woman came with a chicken, and he's riding, chubas with two hands at the same time. So again, it's hard to know if these stories are true or not. They definitely don't tell stories like that about you and I. He was an extraordinarily brilliant and very competent, very productive Talmud Chacham, who was crossing shiloh for much of Eastern Europe, and especially as World War II grew closer and the Nazis advanced, he was very involved also in trying to maximize the number of Jews who get into Vilna and out of Vilna. He was working very hard on saving many Jews, working very hard on many, many fronts. There are a number of stories from that period of time when you see, despite the fact that he was like managing like this mess, is dealing with thousands of people, did not lose like the caring about individual people. And you realize how much he did per minute. The following story is that much more remarkable. A young woman comes to him, comes to his office, and she's very, very, looking very down, looking very overwrought. This is what's going on, how can I help you? So she's engaged to be married in probably a couple of weeks. Malta, beautiful. By looking so sad. And she says she's lost her mother. And this was before kala classes were common. Nowadays, usually a couple gets engaged. There are organized chasen classes and kala classes to learn hilchos nida, the tarus mishpacha, in advance of getting married, so you know how to keep the din when you get married. Some of the people who are in Bechamrusa with the rabbi, oftentimes there are rabbanim who give classes to 10, 15, 20 guys at a time, or to women. Rabban and Rebbetzins were teaching women, but in Al Tahaim, usually a girl would, a mother would teach her daughter, Hilchos Nida, when a girl got engaged. And her mother taught her what she needed to know in order to keep Hilchos Nida when she gets married. She says she's a Yisoma, she doesn't have a mother. There's no, and the Vilna was in turmoil at that time. There's no one to teach her. And she's getting married soon. She's a frum girl and she doesn't know how to respond. So, Reb Chaim Moser said, no problem, have a seat. And he walked over to the window of his office and stood there and spent the next couple of hours teaching her everything she needs to all the Taras Mishpacha, standing at the window. Because this girl needs support and she needs it now. And she needs her privacy and she needs his time. And at the same time, so he could take her for a way they could sit in the park, they could walk in the street, but that's not going to be pleasant for her. She's going through a lot right now. He said, you sit, you be comfortable, you can be outside. He stood at the window. And he was not a young man. He stood at the window for a couple of hours, so that way he was visible. That's Halona Pasur Chlusha Sarab. He was visible to anyone walking by, and she had her privacy. For a number of years, this is before your time, when Mrs. Sheffi first came to MTA to do guidance, for the first number of years, her office was on the mezzanine of the library, where Kronosberg's office is now. And the way it was set up brilliantly. It was set up with a screen, a mechitza, across the middle of that walkway, with a chair for a boy to sit with his back to that screen. So that way she was visible. Anyone walking by in the hallway past the door to that top floor of the library could see her, but not the boy she was speaking to. So privacy for anyone who comes to talk to her, but she was visible. That's this din of Halon Pasur, Lushan Zerava. As long as one of the two people is visible, so that is much. The post can point out, obviously, without referencing the technicalities of Hilchas Chanukah, if you're on an upper floor, not necessarily going to. The open window only helps if people walking by can actually see you. So if you're on a ground level, people can see you, great. If you're on the upper floor of a building, so the fact that people, you have an open window, knowing that here we're on the fifth floor of the building, obviously if anyone's walking around down below, they can't see us through the window. But if you have a wraparound building, like a horseshoe-shaped building, so you may be on the fifth floor or the tenth floor, but your window faces, the windows of the same floor on the other side of the building, or your window faces the building across the street. So as long as you're visible to people, again, so that goes to it. If it's 10 o'clock at night, there's no one in the other offices, that's not Pesach, 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 Rabbah. But if it's a time when the windows across the walkway are busy and people can actually see in from one to the other, one window to the other, which has to do with lighting, whether the windows are tinted or not. So if you're actually visible to those other people are randomly coming and going to the other offices, the other windows, and face you, that is the din of Halon HaPasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Again, that is Mutar L'Chol HaDeis. Even Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the base mayor, hold, if you're actually visible to random people walking on the street or, walking by in the apartments or offices that whose windows face yours, so that is definitely Mutar. And in other words, the Radvaz agrees that visibility is fine. The Radvaz thinks you don't need visibility, but visibility is a higher standard. That is certainly mutter. That comes up also post to discuss cars. Pick up a girl for a date in the car together. So you're not double dating. Generally do not advocate double dating for a wide variety of reasons. Rarely is it the most effective way to accomplish what you're seeking to accomplish, just to figure out if this is the woman you want to marry. Not that you're in a rush to figure that out, but that's the goal of the conversations. So, would not advocate double dating, but at the same time, if you're at a restaurant, if you're at a museum, if you're walking around Fifth Avenue, girls, there are people around. But if you're in the car, so how do you solve a yichud problem? So usually, so there's a range of approaches in poskim, lahakal lahachmer. So I think the most standard approach is to assume that there could be potential for yichud, but oftentimes it'll have the status chalon hapasur chlushos harav. As if you're on a street, and this takes us back again, another application of the concept that the Bar Hetev had quoted about Rishos HaRavim. You have to look at where you're driving and how many other cars are on the street. If there are cars that are driving by every couple of minutes or every couple of seconds, and they can see into your car, the car passenger can see into your car, so many posts can assume that even though things are pretty anonymous on the roads, that's still considered to be Pesach Rishos HaRavim, and that is fun. I have a good friend who, when he was dating, did not marry a girl from Muncie, but for a while was dating a girl from Muncie many years ago. So he saw the roads in Muncie get very dark and very, very deserted pretty early. So he actually, at the time, spoke to Rabbanim in Muncie to talk about his route. He would drive straight to her house, but once he picked her up, the way out of Muncie was much longer because he tried as quickly as possible to get onto 306 to 59, to get onto roads that were busy. When he was driving to her house to pick her up, or after he had dropped her off and was driving back to Heights, he was in the car by himself, he just went the shortest way, which was down deserted streets. But when he had her in the cars, he drive 5-10 minutes down deserted streets, no one's passing, but no one's down the street, no one's passing by, so that's a potential yichud problem. You also have to figure out if it's so dark that even if someone's passing by, they absolutely can't see into your car. That could be a problem as well. Sometimes turning on the dome light can be a solution, but at the same time, turning on the dome light is sometimes a safety issue. You have to make sure that you're driving safely is a halachic consideration, and yichud is a halachic consideration, so you have to manage all of the halachic considerations. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chumrah, which I think is not widely accepted. He thinks that since I could drive off to a deserted place, so it's already yichud now even when I'm in a public place. I think that is not widely accepted.
What does he say, drop and walk?
Huh?
What does he say?
I don't know, have other people in the car? It's hard to know. So that, I don't think that's widely accepted. Obviously, once again, this is in the car is definitely an example where you want to think both about hilchos yichud. Technically, you have to make sure it's not a technical violation of the physician, and you also want to make sure that it's appropriate. That it's not a violation of Mechur HaDavar. Yeah. Let's take some questions, and then let's wrap all these threads together of Pes Mazur. Yeah, Moshe, you've been waiting very patiently.
I mean, when you're driving.
As a Zara Maker, they say, if I'm driving, I'm not doing anything else while I'm driving.
Yeah, that wouldn't work very well.
Right, right. But some are more mekel. So I think the counterbalance is, on the other hand, not as far as the Moshe goes, that, well, I could drive off somewhere else, but we're driving, we could stop. So that's why, so I think there are some people who say, if you're driving a mele, if you're in the back of the car, you know, if you're being driven, you have a self-driving car, is one thing. But if, that's going to be a big chumrah, self-driving cars, or lahaka lahachmer. It'd be better for doctors, but in terms of if you need to travel for Pikuach Nefesh, so obviously it's better if you perhaps have left your car, reduce your Kol Shabbos. But I think there are some who say, like, Kol Zman you're driving, how can you talk about Hilchos Yichud? Leads if you say that guy would stop, the guy would pull over. So I think that's part of why the predominant view is to say, if you're in a place right now which is Yichud, even though you are driving, we would still apply the rules of Yichud. Think so. Yeah.
Isn't there an opinion that says like there's no Isra Yichud in an elevator because it's less than 7 minutes?
Yeah, so we'll have to talk about timing. The elevators, they used to be once upon a time, like 40 years ago, this is like the big hack, was the time in Brooklyn, the Empire State Building was like the go-to place for dates. And Empire State Building has an express elevator. I think still does go straight from the ground floor to the 84th floor. I think it was observation deck. I'm sorry?
So they make us walk away.
No. So you get in that once you get in, you're no one's getting in there. You get in the first floor, the next stop is in the 80s. So there were those who said if you're going to go in an elevator with a girl, there's no one else, you have to wait until someone else comes in before you go in. Yeah, so that pashtus is a very, very difficult chumrah because you're in the elevator for all of 30 seconds. Elevators are Pesach Pasul Shas Rabban, because the normal elevator, the door could open on any floor. And even here, we'll have to talk about, before we complete the Hilchas Yichud, not today, we'll have to talk about the shir. Right, so 30 seconds is definitely way too short to be a shir.
No,
one more question.
For the cars, for the route, then why couldn't you take a route, like a street that might be Yichud, but since you're only driving through it, like it'll take you less than 7 minutes?
No, it's, if I'm going to be on this, if I'm going to be in a deserted spot for 30 seconds, it's fine. If I'm going to be in a deserted area for the next 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, then already that's more of a concern. Right. That one tiny deserted stretch is not an issue, but if I'm going to be there for a while, yeah. Ellie.
What are you supposed to do if you find yourself in a situation where you're like in one single day or whatever in a car, and either you didn't realize or you thought that the way you were taking was usually contemplated, it's not what you're supposed to do when you're.
That's what Rav says to Rav Yehuda. Dal kar from a again. So try to get as efficiently as possible to public place. Not to drive in an unsafe way.
Yeah, okay.
Not drive in an unsafe way. So we'll officially get to a makam mukam. Many halachic issues can be solved by advanced planning. You sow it in life. Many halachic issues and other sorts of mundane issues. Many problems can be headed off by advanced planning. Not everything can be planned here. There are many things can be planned here. So often you think in advance. And as we're seeing, so much of the Chizkiyah has to do with how you set up the situation for success. Who's going to be there? Where are you going to be? How visible will you be? The Chalona Pasuk, which is a Rabban, will often be a solution. We mentioned two shiurim ago that a common scenario that's a concern is in a medical office or in a psychologist's office. A psychologist one is a therapeutic conversation if it's a single client, not a couple or a family. The premise is that there's privacy to the conversation, and in 99 times out of 100, the premise also is that there's privacy that no one sees who the client is. So oftentimes, like we were saying before, you have an open window that where the therapist is visible, that could often be a solution. Kalon Fasua could be a solution for that scenario as well. It's rarely going to be a solution for a medical office, but it can be a solution constructed properly for a therapist's office. But now let's come back. We said that there's a machlokas. Like everyone agrees that there's visibility is mutter. Mindful of time. 2-3 minutes before we wrap up. Everyone agrees if you're visible as mutter. But machlokas between the Radvaz versus Kiveg and the base mayor, again, what the Rajba says is a good question, is how about if you're not visible, but there is a real chance of people popping in? How do we paskin? And we had mentioned also that the Chalkas Mechoke and the Beis Shmuel, the two major Mefarshim on the page, in Rashi and Tos's position, both raise the issue of libo gaspa. They have a diuk and a trumas hadeshen, and maybe there should be a chumra of libo gaspa even a pes pasul. Now what's driving that? Libo gaspa. And so Rabbi Shechter has a nasav, I think comes from some earlier achronim. The notion of libo gaspa is to say that pes pasul is a heter, and but libo gaspa, no, counterbalances that. It's an exception to that heter. Is it true that Pesach Pasuch is a heter? Well, Pesach Pasuch is mutter, obviously, but is that the pshat that it's yichud with a heter? Or is it the pshat that's not yichud at all? Yichud means to be in a private place. This isn't even a situation of yichud to begin with. So that's a deeper way of understanding the machlokas, the Radvaz, Rishon Kiva, and Beis Meir, is what's pshat in Pesach Pasuch. If you say that Pesach Pasuah means people might pop in, so that sounds like Yichud with a Heter. It's Yichud, it's a private situation, but since it's a possibility people will pop in, so that's Matir. Again, Rashi said it only with respect to the husband might pop in, which was maybe an example of more generally. If people can pop in, Pesach Pasuah shows around, people might pop in, so that's Mutter. What are Rabbi Kivager based Meir are saying? By saying, no, the only time it's Mutter, people popping, possibility people have been is not good enough unless they actually are here. The only time it's mutter if they're not here is if you're visible. So that's what Chavra is saying. It's not that, that's matir yichud. Visibility means it's not yichud at all. It's not private. That's a public. If I'm out in the street with all the people, it's not that it's yichud. I'm on the street. I'm walking down the street with a girl. There are other people on the street. So how come it's mutter? Ah, yichud. The answer is no, because it's mutter because there are shomer on the street. No, that's not yichud to begin with. If it's if it's Times Square, maybe Bahur or whatever. But yichud, it's not. You're in public. We'll see another example of that between that next time. So luchor, part of what emerges from our focus with Kiv Eigen based Meir versus Rav Vaz is Pesach Pasuach. When you're visible, that's a description of this situation is not private. When you're not visible, but people can pop in, that's yichud with a heter. So I think the common approach among poskim is to assume, again, assuming that it's appropriate and not distasteful, that we would be makel if there's a real chance, not just the door is technically unlocked, there's a real chance, significant chance that people will pop in, but only if it's not libo gaspa. I think the common approach from poskim is to machron libo gaspa if you rely on the radvaz. As if your mamish visible, even though you're engaged to this girl, very much, Baruch Hashem, very much libo gaspa, if people are walking by, everyone can see you, that's the same yichud at all. But if it's the door is closed, I'm not visible, but there's a real chance people can pop in, generally, assuming it's appropriate, we are makel at the razaz, but not if libo gaspa. Not libo gaspa, then we makel even if it's just people can pop in. If libo gaspa, we would demand the higher standard of actual visibility. And so next time we'll talk more about definitions of Rishus HaRabim, and we start talking more about particular situations where Yichud, the Yichud doesn't kick in.